with John tonight. He said that you were made far, you that were afar off, you were made close in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says, for he is the peace of us. He is our peace. It says, the one having made the both in one and the middle wall of the partition having been broken, the active hatred in the flesh of him. Now this is, that's right straight from the Greek. What it's talking about here is the curtain, the veil in the temple. When Jesus Christ died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, wasn't it? That's what the Bible says. Okay? The temple veil was rent. On the inside of that veil was the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God. And no one could enter in there except the high priest once a year to make atonement on the Day of Atonement. And even him, they didn't know whether he was going to come back out alive, so they tied a string to him. Tied a rope to him, actually, to his foot. And if he died in there because he had sins when he went in there, if he happened to fall over dead and the bells quit jingling, there were bells on the bottom of his garment and everything, if they heard them quit moving and he didn't come back out, they better drag him back out of there because he was killed by God. Well, that was the presence of God. That's the glory of God that he went into the presence. And he typified Jesus Christ to come because Jesus Christ was going to take his offering of what he had done in his life and take it into the presence of God, which he is God. But God made the atonement to God. If you can understand that, that's hard. God made the atonement for us to God.
Well, and he did. Talking about the veil.
He's talking about the veil.
Being one, being two.
Yes. Now that veil separates us from God. And that veil typifies our sins. Well, sin was done away with when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. What happened to the veil? There was a great earthquake took place in the tale, and it says in there, the tale was told that the veil rent from the top to the bottom. It was ripped, torn apart. And they said that veil was 4 inches thick. Real heavy woven veil. A curtain. It was like a big, thick carpet. And it was torn from the top to the bottom. And the holy place was laid wide open for all to see, and it typified that Christ had made way into heaven for us. And it was no longer the sin, our sin no longer separated us from God because it was paid for. Okay? It was paid for. It was abolished. The middle wall of partition has been abolished in the flesh of him. By his flesh, by the offering that he made, God became flesh in John 1:14. Didn't it say that? The Word became flesh. Alright? Jehovah became flesh, and he lived a perfect life, and he made a perfect offering for us. And so no longer was our sin separating us from God because he had paid the price. Okay. Verse 15. And the law of the commandments. The many commandments. There's a lot of commandments. Okay? Tone in talon of the commandments and decrees, the dogmas. We get a word dogma right out of this. It is dogmasin. Having abolished, kata ergesos, having abolished in order that the ones too might create in himself unto one a new man, making peace. We're dual natures, aren't we? Or when we're saved, we have a dual nature. We still have the nature of the flesh in our flesh, and then we have the new nature of God that God creates in us. That He lives in us. But what happens is that God incorporates those two, and we can walk in His presence. Even though we have a sinful flesh and a sinful nature left, we still can come to Him anytime we want to by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. Yes, His blood covers us. Verse 17. Now the Jews did not preach peace, did they? They preached a continual, absolute, continual offering and a continual observance of rules and orders, didn't they? But He said, I deal away all these rules and orders and all these dogmas through one body. Jesus' body. And having come, and Jesus having come, is what it's talking about, he preached peace unto ye, the ones afar off, and peace to the ones near, to the Jews and the Gentiles. He preached the same gospel, didn't he? For through him we both have access. We can both go forward. Pros ago gain is what it is. We have the access. We can follow right. We can fall right down on our knees and come right straight to God. We can stand on our feet and look up into heaven and say, Father. You know, you will not find in the Old Testament any place where they called God Father. Jesus is the first person that called God Father. And the first person that ever said, first prophet that ever told anyone to say, Our Father which art in heaven. The first one. By His blood we have the right to call Him Abba Father. Father, Father. Daddy. He's our daddy, isn't he? Your little kid coming up to you and saying, Daddy, Daddy, Mama, Mama. You know, with that word comes a lot of responsibility, doesn't it? God watches over you like you watch over your beloved children. Did you know that? He does. He watches over you. Did I answer your question, brother? Beautiful verses. The book of Ephesians is a beautiful, beautiful book. Thank you very much for that question. Christ did away from the veil that separated us from God. It's no longer there. That veil was our sin and our flesh, and He took it away by His flesh.
When that happened, what happened to the ark?
I tell you the truth, I don't know whether the ark was even there. But it was laid open. There may have been a facsimile ark there, but actually the ark was not there. Let's put it that way. There may have been an ark there, but it was not the ark that Moses had built by those craftsmen. Because that ark, according to 2 Maccabees, was carried into the mountain where God buried Moses and was buried in a cave, and it would not be found until the last days, which are yet to come, during the tribulation period.
So it's still there?
It's still there. There may have been an ark in there, but it was not, and it probably was made like that, like the first one. But the Ark of the Covenant was carried off, and it was hidden by Jeremiah.
There was a rumor floating around by years when they had found it. I don't
think it's true or not. Well, it's hid over there in Jordan, is where it's hid. It's in the nation of Jordan, or the state of Jordan. So they're looking down upon Jericho and the Promised Land over there where God buried Moses on that mountain, where He showed Moses the Promised Land.
The Ark of the Covenant
is a shittim wood or acacia wood, and it's covered with solid gold. And I'm in the electronics, pretty heavy duty. I've been a ham operator for a long time, taught a lot of ham classes, and I've studied radio and antennas and stuff since I was a little kid. And there are certain laws of science and everything that you study. Well, you take this Ark of the Covenant, and it's a box. It's a box is what it is. An ark is a box. All right? There were rings on it, and there was wooden poles that stuck through this thing where you could have it lifted. You could not touch the thing. Nobody was supposed to touch it. One man in there, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, one man touched that Ark of the Covenant. You know what happened to him? He died. Now, if you take this Ark, when you're building a capacitor and condensers and things like that, you have certain things. These wooden things are like plates. And then on the side of the inside or on the outside was gold. And gold is a real good conductor. And it's like a box here, see? All together. And it stores electricity. How many of you ever... I mean, this is ancient days now. This is like in the Model T times. Not really, but back in the 60s. That was a long time ago. But back in the 60s, they had ignitions in a car. You had a distributor. Cars, most of the cars, they don't even have a distributor. They have coils, like one or two per cylinder or whatever. But it had a distributor back then, and inside that distributor was a capacitor. And that capacitor stored energy. And the points would go open and close in there, the ignition points, and it would store that energy and release it, store it and release it. You can charge up a capacitor, and it'll hold that charge for a long time. You know what?
Well, it's like your computer. They've got a heavy-duty capacitor that holds a lot of energy in there.
Well, all your amplifiers, all your amplifiers for your radio, that big amplifier that I use to magnify my signal when I get on the ham radio, it puts out about 2,000 watts. But there's a lot of big capacitors in there. And you can unplug that thing and everything else, and that thing can knock the way out of you. I mean, it'll shoot big old long sparks for months at a time without ever. And sometimes it'll charge itself back up even if you discharge it. When you're putting tubes in some of those things, it's got great big tubes, 200, 300, 500 Zs, and it's big tubes. They put out about 1,500 watts a piece if you've got enough transformer to drive them. And anyway, the capacitors in there, they store a lot of energy. And this arc is full of energy. Scientifically, it is a capacitor and a condenser. And that thing stores energy. If anybody is to touch it, scientifically, it would shock them, kill them. Same as that.
Because of the gold
and the way it's put together. It's like a big capacitor. There it is. Have to watch about it. Have to be careful if they ever find it, not to be running up there and touching it. Scientifically, it'll shock them and probably kill them, but that is holy. That thing is holy.
But even if they did find it, being as holy as it's still going to kill them.
Yeah, that's right. How many of you watched Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
With Harrison Ford a long time ago. It had some good stuff in there about that Ark of the Covenant. I mean, nobody's going to run up there and lift the thing off and everything like they did and look down in it. But they did have some truths in that movie. That thing that flew up to heaven was the mercy seat. That's where the angels, the little cherubim, stood up there. That's the mercy seat. It's called Hilasterion in Greek. He is our mercy seat. Christ is our. He's like the Holy of Holies. He is God Himself.
Is that where they poured blood on that?
Yes. They took and they made an offering and they poured blood on that. They sprinkled that offering with blood. With blood. Yes, and it got the Shekinah glory of God was in the presence. And all that blood typified Jesus' blood to come. And He was the one that made the final offering and the complete and the final perfect offering that no one would ever have to make again. He was a final high priest. He is our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek according to the book of Hebrews. He's our last high priest, and he isn't going to die again, is he? All the other high priests died, but not Jesus. Jesus died, but he rose again forever. And he made an offering for us. Took that blood offering to heaven and made that offering for us. John 7 and verse 40. Ek tu okloun akousantes. Are you there?
John
7 and verse 40. Ek tu okloun akousantes. Ek tu okloun akousantes. Tone, logon, tutone, elegon, tutos, eston, alethos, ho, prophetes. All right. Well, that was the easy one to read. Out of the crowd. Ek tu oklu. Ek is out All right? That means out. Out of. If you look on page 121, that little analytical Greek lexicon, you'll find about that. Out of the crowd, to oklu. See the two there? That's a definite article, isn't it? And that's oblative, singular, masculine. This crowd, it comes from oklos. Oklos, oklu, oklu, oklo, 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 okle. Okay, that's how the eight cases in singular. All right? That's just a singular, and then there's plural also. Out of the crowd, how many people are in oklu? A bunch, yeah. How many? From the Bible, from the number that it names in several different places where it's called an old clue, it's 5,000 people. 5,000 or so people. So out of 5,000 people, therefore, okay, that's un, that's a little particle there. Therefore, ones having heard the words. Now, we can say here, ones having heard. This is nominative plural masculine. And that's the case of the subject. And it's plural. It's a bunch of them. Okay? And masculine, we're just going to call them masculine. Because that's what, generically, that's the way it turns all these people. Okay? It terms them that way. First aorist participle active. So, ones having heard. We can put the ones having heard. But it doesn't have a definite article in there, does it? Huh? It would be hoi. It's which one it would be. Hoi. Hoi akousantes. But in Greek, you don't have to have a definite article in every place, do you? Because it's understood. Remember what I told you in John 1 and 1 over there? Those people's house, and then later here? In John 1 and 1, at the end of that verse, and the Word became, or the Word kept on being God. And I said you could put the Word kept on being the God. Well, see here, you have another case of that. You have it stands in. It's a practical substantive. To understand the sentence better, you would have to add a hoi in there, or the ones having heard the words. Ton logon. The words, these. All right? These are the words that are recorded earlier in this, verses above this one, or before this one. The words, these. All right? Tone logon. They're the ones having heard the words these. That is a genitive plural, masculine. The words these. Then we have the demonstrative pronoun, the same thing. It's tone logon, two tone. See there? All of those agree, the endings. See that? And then it says, elegon. They kept on saying, that's third person plural, imperfect indicative active. What does this imperfect tense tell us? These people up here, those the ones out of the crowd, they kept on saying something. They kept on talking. They were chattering among themselves, okay? They kept talking back and forth. Did you see that? Hey, did you see that? Did you see what I saw? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? They just kept on saying that. We're all excited. They kept on saying, this one, he is truly the prophet. All right, this one, that's a demonstrative pronoun. That's a nominative singular masculine demonstrative pronoun, hutos. And then it says here, Aston, he is third person singular, present, indicative, active. All right, he is. All right, Amy A. Aston. He is truly. Here we have a truly. This is a little adverb of affirmation. An adverb of affirmation here. Truly. Truly. He is truly ho prophetes. Ho prophetes. See the word, that ending of that on there on the end, that tau, eta, sigma, prophetes? That means it's nominative, singular, masculine. It's a little different ending, but this word, the way this word is put together, it has to be ended like that. In a second declension word, it would be omicron sigma, but here it's eta sigma. But it's still the same. Ho prophetes, it means the prophetive. Number, gender, and case, nominative, singular, masculine is what it is. All right? The prophet. Who was the prophet? They were looking for a prophet to come, wasn't he? Huh? They kept looking for the prophet. Jesus Christ to come. And they are also the prophet that they're probably referring to is not so much Jesus, but Elijah. And you know what? That during the dinner, during the Passover, even today, that the Jewish people leave a set in each home, a seat in each home, and a plate of dinner there, and they set that dinner for Elijah the prophet. And when they are getting ready to serve this dinner, they would walk out to the door and they'd say, "Elijah, Elijah, Elijah, are you here?" That kind of sounds foolish, doesn't it? But you know what they're looking for him to come?
Today they're still doing that?
They're still looking for Elijah the prophet to come. Elijah did come. He was John the Baptist. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah the prophet. Elijah did come. Jesus said, "Indeed, Elijah did come." And he named him. He was John the Baptist. Elijah.
Is that the same as Elisha?
No.
Elijah.
Elijah's different. Elisha was his protege, the prophet that took his place. Elisha. And Elijah, he was quite a prophet. Did a lot of miracles in his day. Well, John the Baptist didn't do any miracles, did he? But Jesus did miracles, and they got him confused with the Elijah that was come. And they said, "Look here, this must be the prophet." Over here just a little earlier, they said, "This has to be the prophet. If the prophet came, he couldn't do any more miracles than this man has done. He is got to be the prophet. This has got to be the one. This has got to be Elijah." All right? That's what it's talking about here. Elijah. They thought he was Elijah. And then the next verse, they're going to argue a little bit. We're going to go over there and we're going to see that they're arguing. The prophet. Now turn over to John 7 and verse 41. Aloi. Elagon. Hutos. Eston. Ho. Christos, Hoy, Day, Elagon, Me, Dar, Ek, Tais, Galileos, Hoy, Ho mean Ho, Ho, Christos, Erkete. All right, John 7, verse 41. Let's look at this one. Yes.
It just goes to 23 on John
7. All right. I guess you're just out of it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is it? Are you sure? That's as far as it goes?
Mm-hmm.
Sure is. Well, let me give you another one that goes a little further than that, okay? I think that's this one right here. Okay, this is where you are, right here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All of you have up-to-date text?
Yep.
All right, I've got to make some more of those. Not very easy when you try to guess what I'm saying. Aloi. Okay. That's nominative plural. It's an adjective, basically. Elagon. Third person plural, first aorist. Or imperfect indicative active, and I will go with the imperfect here instead of the aorist. Imperfect indicative action. Act third person plural, imperfect indicative active. That's the way I've translated it. Others, they kept on saying. Now, why would I translate this imperfect instead of aorist tense? What did we have over here before? The crowd kept on saying over here, didn't they? All right? They kept on saying this, and they kept on saying that. They kept on talking to each other. So here we have the thing again, the same wording. So we have to remember in syntax, that's what it's going to be. Others, they kept on saying this one, hutos. Again, nominative singular masculine, demonstrative pronoun. This one, he is ho Christos. Eston, ho Christos. Hutos Eston, ho Christos. This one, he is the Christ. See, it's different than the prophet, isn't it? Do you see the difference in it? The prophet was Elijah. All right? They expecting Elijah to come. They kept looking for Elijah to come. But others said, no, this is the Messiah. Messiah. This is the Messiah, the Christ, the Jehovah, who is to come. And then look here, it says.
But not everybody in the crowd is agreeing with that?
No, they're arguing. Here we have an oak clove of about a crowd of about 5,000 people. And you can't get three people to agree, let alone 5,000. Can you? That's why you have so much trouble in Baptist churches. People don't agree a lot of times. All right? But the ones, or moreover the ones, they kept on saying, not. For not out of the Galilee. Now, they knew better than that, didn't they? Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
All right. What does Bethlehem mean, by the way? What does Bethlehem mean?
You told me that, I forgot. I'm getting old
senile. I am too. What does Bethlehem mean? It means that place of much food, or the house of much food, the place of much food. Rich people lived in Bethlehem, all right? Rich people lived in Bethlehem, and they all had lots of food on their tables. That's what that man means. That means house or the place of much food, all right? The place of much food. Bethlehem. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was called down into Egypt. He was called back into the land of Israel, back up there in Nazareth. What does Nazareth mean? Shoot. It means shoot, or root out of dry ground. It means a shoot, a green shoot. Jesus would be a root out of dry ground, remember? All of this, they knew all about it. They're sitting there arguing with each other, but they know what really happened. They had all the court records. They had investigated Jesus' life from A to Z. All right? They knew exactly all about him. They knew when he was down there. And do you think that he could walk in and stay down in the temple area for days? Teaching and preaching when he was 12 years old and nobody knew about him? That the tales of Jesus' life were carried from one end of Palestine to the other for 30 years. He was not an unknown figure. Wherever he was, he had thousands to listen to him. How many are following him around right now when we talk about an Oklu? 5,000 people. My wife told me tonight I was just as important as Spurgeon. I'm probably as important as Spurgeon to her. But you know what? Every time Spurgeon opened his mouth, 10,000 people come cramming in that big church to listen to him. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, thousands of people listened to him. Thousands of people. I mean multitudes. Father, he didn't have a secret day of one, did he? He had to sneak away and hide if he wanted to get a vacation.
Well, every time we wanted to make him king, he ran off and hide.
Yeah.
They were going to force him.
Yeah, they were going to force him. He did allow them one time, didn't he? Oh, the triumphal entry. They were coronating him as a king. He is our king. He's our Messiah. Blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Israel. A few days later, they crucified him. That was short-lived, wasn't it?
Most Christians don't realize that
in
a crowd.
A lot of people think those are just a few little people following Jesus. Baloney.
You see it in the movies. You know, it's
yeah, just a few little people. Just 12 disciples only.
Maybe 10 people kind of hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does the original language say? A lot of people don't even know. That's where you get it, right here. What is an Oklu? It's 5,000 people. All right? The crowd was there. 5,000 people. Every place Jesus went, he wasn't a small-time preacher. I don't think any of the Pharisees would stand up and preach or teach. Not the greatest sage in Israel had, every time he opened his mouth, 5,000 people or 50,000 people. Just think of 1,000,000 people cramming in there to listen to his words. That's right. Lots of people.
You said that was the year of the Jubilee or something when they first started the ministry.
Yeah.
And the people had the time and could follow him.
Yeah. They came to hear him.
A lot of them not only came to hear him, but they knew that he had the power of healing. A lot of them were probably thinking they're sick.
Yes, they had brought their sick. You know, one time in one house, he was preaching in the house. And there were people crammed around that house. You couldn't wedge yourself in the door. You know what they did to this guy that was sick? He was paralyzed. They took and busted up the roof and let him down through the roof on a stretcher.
And it wasn't even their house.
No! They were serious about this situation.
Get him in.
No, wonder he probably owed him money. They wanted to get him well so they could pay back. Anyway, some people are saying, no, this is the Christ. And then he says, wait just a minute. The Christ, he doesn't come out of Galilee. What are the great prophets that came out of Galilee? They said no prophet ever came out of Galilee and some of the other places. But what prophets came out of Galilee? What great prophets came out of Galilee? One of them went and preached and the whole city was saved. His name was Jonah or John. Okay? He preached in Nineveh. He came out of Galilee. What was another one? Naaman. Naaman preached, and he was out of Galilee. Was he a prophet? Sure he was. How about Elijah and Elisha? Probably they both came out of Galilee. Were there some prophets come out of Galilee? Yeah, there were some prophets came out of Galilee. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Why was he born in Bethlehem? He was going to be born in Galilee, in Nazareth, but Roman law demanded that Joseph go down to the city of David, to Bethlehem. And so when he was down there, it so happened that Mary delivered. The child was born there, exactly where the Messiah was supposed to be born. All right?
Is that when
they're
doing the census or something?
Yeah, we're doing the census. They're getting ready to do some more tax collecting. Had to go down there and sign up. All right. The Christ, whole Christos, nominative singular masculine, he comes, third person singular, present indicative middle. He comes for himself. See that? Remember when we talked about the modes and the voices? This is middle voice. He is doing this for himself. Christ comes from Bethlehem, not out of Galilee, they said. Well, they knew where Jesus was born anyway. He might have lived in Galilee and lived in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. Not one of them was ignorant of it. They're just arguing because they didn't want to accept him. John 7, verse 42. Uk. Hey. Graphe.
Apain.
Hote.
Het.
Tu. Spermatos. Spermatos. Daif.
Kai.
Apo.
Bethlehem.
Tais. Colmace, Hupu, Ain, David, Ho, Christos, Erkete. All right, look at this. Greek's getting better and easier all the time, isn't it? Just read that like English. Uk. Uk is an adverb of negation. It should be Notley. If you translated it literally, it would be Notley. It would be a Noli. Okay. No. Actively no. Not, hey, graphe, the writing. Nomine singular feminine. The scripture. The Bible is what it's talking about. The writings. The scripture. The Bible. Doesn't the Bible say, it said, hote, that's a little conjunction or caligraphy particle, and you can look that one up on page 194. And then, ek tu spermatos, out of the seed of David. Look at that. Ek. That's a little old preposition. And when you see ek, you can just about bet the next ones are going to be in the oblative. That's a case of origin. Oblative is. Oblative, singular, masculine here. Oblative, singular, masculine. Definite article and noun. Out of the seed. That's spermatos. See, we get our word sperm from that English word. Out of the seed of David. Kai apo. And from, we have Kai, a little conjunction on page 208 in that little analytical lexicon. And then we have apo, a little preposition. Apo Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Apo Bethlehem. But he's from Bethlehem. The village. Tais Comes. The village. Little Come. Where? Hupu. Another little adverb. Where? Where he kept on being. That. Look at that word aim there. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. Where kept on being the David. That was David's home. Now, Brother Art lives on Ash Road in some apartments over there, and you keep on being over there, don't you? Every chance you get, you go home and lay down, put your feet up and rest and have something to chew on and eat and watch a little television and act and call it your home, don't you?
You may have a seat for sure.
Yeah. You keep on being there. From day to day, you keep on being. I live out on Gosford Road. I keep on being out there. That's what the word aim means, to keep on being. In the beginning, kept on being the Word. And the Word kept on being toward the God. The Word kept on being God. Same thing here in third person singular, perfect, indicative, active. It means a continuation of being. All right? Where he kept on being David. The Christ, he comes out of there. Ho Christos. The word ho Christos. Christos. What in the world does that mean? Christos. The Hebrew word is Messiah. Messiah.
In Greek is Christ.
Yeah, in Greek is Christ. Christos. We got our word Christ out of the Greek language. Christos. We didn't translate it. We just say Christ.
Is that Christos,
is
it Christ or Christian?
No, Christos is Christ. The word Christian means one who is like Christ. A Christian is one who follows the Christ. Okay, this Christ right here. Okay, the Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah.
Jehovah be the same.
Jehovah means he who shall become. The Christ is the Messiah. He who shall become is the Messiah. Okay? Jehovah is the Messiah. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses will disagree with you on that, but of course they don't know who the Messiah is anyway. Who they say they're witnesses to, they witness against. Ho Christos Erkete. The Christ, he comes from the city of David. All right? And look into here again. There is third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. The Christ, he comes for himself. He comes out of this village. John 7, verse 43. Schisma. Un. Agenito. En. To. Oclu. Di. Auton. My wife sits there when we're eating and starts spouting off some of these Greek words now. She's been around the class long enough to she knows them. She say Auto. Hoeto or something like that. Schisma. Schisma. That means a split or a division. A split or a division. Una, the division or the split, therefore it became or came to pass. Agenito is third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. Because of all this arguing, a division hit the middle of the crowd. They separated in different places. All right, those that believed in the Christ, the Messiah, had come. Those that believed that this was Elijah the prophet. Those that believed this was the real King of Israel. And those that believed that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. Boy, they had all kinds of ideas. All of them are out there. They're not sure what's going on here, but they know it's miraculous. This is a supernatural type person doing supernatural type deeds. And because of that, the vision was in the great crowd. En to oklu. How much is that oklu? How many people?
5,000
people. Here's about 5,000 people here arguing and grumbling between each other. And why are they arguing? Diaton. Diaton. D comes from dia. It's a contracted form of dia. And it would sound diaton. So they said diaton. See how smoke goes together? They dropped that alpha on the end of that dia there for euphony. And what does euphony mean? Euphony. Euphony. U is euphony. It's two Greek words. Okay. Euphony. Good sound. That's what euphony means. Good sound. Did you remember that? That one there you need to remember. Greek words change for euphony. So the language will sound good as you speak it. You swallow an alpha here, and so it makes it sound better because you don't have two alphas in a row. Dia and autone. Dia, autone. You have diautone. See? You would have two A's there to say. The Greeks are going to drop one of them. That dia, that's preposition, page 90 in your little Latin analytical lexicon. And then we have a third person pronoun here, third person pronoun, accusing singular masculine. Autone, alpha, epsilon, tau, omicron, nu. That little word is accusative singular masculine third person pronoun because of him. Then we have tenes in 744. Tenes, day, ethon, ek, actually it's x. X. Auton. Piazze. Auton. All. Udes. Epibolen. Ep. Auton. Tos. Kairos. Easy, isn't it? Tenes, little old indefinite relative pronominal adjective. Some, that's how it should be translated. Then we have a little weak adversative conjunction here, particle. And you can look that one up on page 85 if you want to. Day. And, or more over some, and then ethylon. That comes from fellow. Fellow. Third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. They kept on wishing. Some out of them kept on wishing. Kept on wishing. Have you ever kept on wishing for something? My wife kept on wishing for a husband for a long time. Mm-hmm. Kept on praying for God to send her the right man. She had to wait a long time, and then she ended up with me. Kept on wishing. And some, they kept on wishing.
I want to ask you, it says "and" here, and it's up there, the "and" is...
Is "they."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't translate it "and." I'd translate it "but" or "moreover." Okay? Because we're changing, but it's kind of a weak adversative conjunction, not a strong one. It's not an "and." That's too smooth. But it is an adversative conjunction. So we have to say "moreover" or "but." Okay? But. We have a change of thought. But some, out of them, this way, you jump over the verb there, and then you go back, some out of them, that ek and auton, that's ek, that's the preposition, page 121. And out of them, that's oblative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. And what did these guys do? Some out of them, they kept on wishing. Third person plural, they. Imperfect indicative, active. They kept on wishing. Piazza. What in the world does that mean? Put the handcuffs on. To shackle him. To incarcerate him. Put him behind bars. Nail him to a cross. They wanted to arrest him. They kept on wanting to arrest him as first aorist, infinitive, and active. Comes from piazzo. And of course, that third person pronoun there, it's accusative singular masculine. Third person pronoun, that outone. And then we have Allah. Allah. Allah is a contraction of Allah. That is a strong adversative conjunction, and you can look at that one up on page 15. Strong adversative conjunction. But, that's a strong adversative conjunction, okay? But, not one. See that? Not one. Udes. That udes comes from three Greek words. It comes from what? What Greek, three Greek words? Anybody say them? Udes. What does it come from? The oo on the front of it is from ook. Okay? That little old ook, you can look that up on page 294 in your analytical lexicon, and that's an adverb of negation. And then they is what? That's your little weak adversative conjunction. That was on page 85, if you want to look that one up. And then we have ace at the end of it, I think. Udace, yeah. That is means one. It's a numeral. That numeral, by the way it's spelled, that means it's nominative singular masculine. Well, I agree, it's beautiful, and even the numbers, even the numerals are inflected. Udace. No over not one, but not one. Epibalane. Epibalane. Epibalane, it comes from epi, which you can look on page 153 and 54, and balo. I believe we get our ball from that. Our name, ball. Ball, what do you do with a ball? You throw it. Okay. Not one of them laid or cast or threw their hands upon him. Don't you lay a hand on me. You heard somebody say that. That's exactly what it's talking about. Nobody laid a hand upon him. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. From epi and balo. And then we have ep. Again, that word ep there, see that one? Epsilon pi. That ep there, that's a contraction also. What does that come from? What word does that one come from? That's a contraction also. One letter was left off the end of it. That's a iota. It was from epi. It's ep.
Epi, not epi, but epi alton. Do you see that alpha coming in there in the front of that third person pronoun there, alton there, third accused singular masculine third person pronoun, that alton? The reason why they dropped the iota is because it starts with an A over there. And you're running two vowels together and it wouldn't sound good. So for euphony, they dropped that iota. All right. Epaton. Ekbalein epaton tas keros. Do you see how the language? Tenes de ethylon ekton piase apton ala udes. Epibalen epopton tas keros. You almost sang the language. It's a very sing-song, smooth language, the Greek is. That's why they changed it. Nobody laid upon him tas keros. What's tas keros? Accusative plural, feminine. Nobody laid their hands upon him. The keros, the hands. Do you have any questions so far? Are you learning a little grammar and about words as we go? I'm just cramming it down your throat as we go here. Repetition is what does it. Repetition. You keep on doing it. You know how come I remember these page numbers? Repetition. No, but you came back and behind you. Okay? At least that much. Elphone. John 7 and verse 45. Un. Hoi. Hi parete. Pros. Tus. Arceres. Kai. Pharisaeus. Kai. Aphone. Aptois. Akenoi, dia, ti, uk, egapete, egagete, that is, egagete, auton. I changed that from loving someone loving to bringing. They came, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active. That one came from Erkamai, by the way. They came, therefore, here you have the little particle therefore again. The ones, hoi, remember I told you a while ago when it didn't have a hoi there? That's nominative plural masculine, all right? The attendants, the under rowers is what it literally says. The ones under rowers, the sergeants of arms. The deacons, the temple guards. That's all in this word. The temple guards, the sergeant of arms, the laborers. Remember, a lot of times it says there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. That's right. The workers, the people that did the work. They were the deacons of the synagogues, also the sergeant of arms, and they were the guards. All in this word. The guards, they came toward pros, tus, arceres. They came toward the chief priest. Now look at that word, pros, tus. That word pros there is preposition. Tus, arceres. That's accusative plural masculine. That tus is a definite article, accusative plural masculine. Chief priest, arceres. Eres, that's priest, and arche is what? First or head priest. Okay? And then we have the word chi. Chi is a little old thing that links links a bunch of sentences together. Chi, a little conjunction. Page 208. You want to look that one up? The Pharisees, Pharisaeus. What does this word Pharisee mean? What's the word Pharisee mean? Many, many tekel eupharsin. Remember that? Remember that? There was a handwriting on the wall, many, many tekel eupharsin. The word eupharsin there, the word Pharisee comes from it. Your days are numbered and your kingdom is going to be separated. It's going to be divided. It's going to be split. The Pharisees separated themselves from all the other people and said, we're better than all the rest. We're separate. We're holier. We're closer to God than all the rest of them because we keep all of His commandments and a plus of them, a bunch of them we make up. That's what they said. Kai epon and Kai. They said, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active. By the way, that comes from Lego. And they said to them, those ones, ekinos, those ones, the attendants, or the guards, the sergeant of arms, they said to those ones, dia ti uk ege gete auton. Why not you bring him? Why didn't you bring him? Why didn't you arrest him? That word there, D-T-U-K, that is a little idiom that we have to, it's hard to translate in English. Why didn't you? That's what it means. Why didn't you bring him? That D-T-U-K, E-G-G-T, that's all together. Why didn't you bring him? Second plural, some plural. Second aorist, indicative active, and that comes from ago. Why didn't you bring him back? Why didn't you arrest him? Well, why didn't they arrest him? Why didn't the Pharisees and why didn't the chief priests, why hadn't they arrested him before? They had him in the synagogues. They had him every place. They couldn't lay a hand on him, could they? No, wasn't time yet. Why didn't you bring him back? Why didn't you bring him back? It wasn't his time yet. Well, I'm going to quit there for tonight.